This morning, Faith family, we have the privilege of having a missionary family that our church supports, Rich and Rachel Hendrickson, and their children. They're from Birmingham, England, and they're saying that the weather here is a little bit warmer than at home, but the kids are enjoying it. What they do there, we've had them at our mission meeting this last Monday, and what they're doing there, they had their hands in a lot of things, but mainly it's youth in England. So it's super to hear what they have. They got a table set up afterwards. Go see them. Go talk to them. Get to know your missionaries. They have cards. Every missionary you talk to say prayer is the most important thing for them. So go and talk to them after. And here's Rich and Rachel.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much. It's great to be here back in Waupaca. This is a place where Rachel kind of grew up. My name is Rich, Rachel, and we had our kids right over there. I just want to give you a little bit of a framework about what is Birmingham, UK like. And so one of the things is it's a large city. It's the second largest city in the UK. It's a little bit over a million people that live there, and it is a majority-minority city. And so what that basically means is the majority of the city is made up of minorities or foreigners. And so it is an incredible place to walk down the street and meet the world, right? There's people from Pakistan, there's people from India, there's people from the Ukraine, there's people from Russia, there's people from all Europe. And so it's an incredible opportunity to just connect with the world all within one small place. It's a big city, but relatively small place. One of the other things that the most practiced religion in Birmingham right now, today we're praying against this, but is Islam. And so within our home, there's about 26 mosques within 1 mile. And if you expand that a little bit farther across the city, there's 160 plus. And so you can just imagine the opportunities that there is to share Christ and engage in some conversations with those people there. And then the other thing that I want to share with you guys about the city is it's age-wise, it's one of the youngest cities in Europe. So 40% of the population is the age 25 and down. And so when you're thinking about youth ministry or university ministry or children's ministry, Birmingham is an incredible place to be stationed and to be working and serving the Lord there.
So like Robert said, we get to be involved in multiple things. One of the main things that we do is we help churches who don't have youth ministries set up sustainable youth ministries. So most churches are the size of about 20 to 30 people on a Sunday morning, and they don't have teenagers going to their churches. And so we help them go out into the communities, meet the young people, start building relationships, and then create a program where they can be on a weekly basis ministering to these young people and helping them understand who Jesus is and how much he loves them. So we're partnering with 4 churches right now to get to do that. We also work with a homeless ministry that shares the gospel every day in between the lunch and the dessert that is served. And so Rich and I have the privilege of getting to share the gospel message there and just get to know the people and build friendships with them. I also get to work with a ministry that ministers to Muslim women, mostly from Pakistan. We're involved with a ministry called Teen Street that helps churches that do have youth ministries connect their young people with other young people. So we do events throughout the UK, and it's just an opportunity to encourage the young people, if they come from a youth group that's 3 or 4 people, that they're not alone, that they get to see other young people that believe like they do. And then we also have an internship program. So we have 3 people with us right now who are interning with us for 2 years. And because of them, we get to do even more in the city as they get to partner with various different ministries. And we're looking forward to having another intern coming next month. And just to put that out there, our interns are between the age of 25 and 46. So it's never too late to come on over and serve with us.
All right, so if we just want to ask you guys for a couple of prayer requests throughout there. One of the prayer requests that we want to ask of you guys is pray for the workers that are there. There's way more work than there are workers. And so you can imagine the workers that are there are tired. And it's a day-to-day grind. And sometimes planting the seeds is a lot of work and seems a little bit more fatiguing than getting to reap the harvest. And so pray for the workers that are there. Pray that God would use us to be able to come alongside them and encourage them and help them to continue serving the Lord faithfully. So pray for more workers in the harvest as well. Pray that we would get more people coming to work with us with the youth ministries. The more people that we have working with us, the more churches we can bless and we can serve and more youth ministries we can launch. And so, like I said before, one of the youngest city in Europe, we need as many youth workers in that city as possible. So be praying for that as well. Be praying for the Muslims that are seeking Jesus, right? That is a very tight-knit community, and asking questions and seeking Jesus can be very challenging at times. And so would you pray for those people that are seeking that God would just really grab a hold of their hearts, and despite the community pressures that they might be facing, they would continue pursuing truth and would come to know Jesus as well. Yeah, so thank you for those. If you guys wouldn't mind praying for those things, that would be great. I'm going to start off in a word of prayer. And would you guys just pray with me? Father God, thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word, Father. But also hear some stories about things that are happening over the ocean, God. It is a privilege to come back home to Wisconsin, to be able to share these things. And God, I just think of the smoke from the forest fires that have been happening in Canada and how we saw the results of that here. God, in the same way, but in a very positive sense, God, we just want to bring some smoke here, so that people can realize the things that are happening over in the UK and just how active you're moving there. But just a reminder that, God, you're working here too and you're working there and you're just working on every corner of the planet. And so, God, we just praise you that we have an opportunity to love and serve a God who is so actively pursuing hearts all over the planet. God, we love you. And, we just pray that the message this morning would be a blessing to each and every one of us, that each and every, you open our hearts and our ears to hear, Father, something really specific that you want to speak into our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. All right, so I want to start off with a story. So Rachel and I actually served in the Paris area for France for about 10 years. And while we were there, we got the opportunity to go to the Louvre, as the French say. We'd say Louvre. The French would say Louvre. It's one of the most famous museums in the world. And it's really famous because of a specific painting. And that painting is the Mona Lisa, right? So the Mona Lisa is one of the hot things to see if you're ever in a Paris area. And when you walk into this museum, there's signs right away pointing to the direction where the Mona Lisa is, right? And so you walk in and there's an aerial Mona Lisa this way. You can tell that the French are tired of telling the tourists where's the Mona Lisa, right? And so there's a sign this way. If you're on a different floor, you know, by the stairs, it says Mona Lisa is up the stairs this way. And if you're above the Mona Lisa, right, Mona Lisa's below you. Just, you walk out of the bathroom, and there's a sign pointing where the Mona Lisa is. And so there's these signs everywhere. And the first time that Rachel and I had the opportunity to go, we walked in, and it's situated in this large room. It's a floating wall, and the Mona Lisa is there. And people are gathering around this picture. Obviously, some of them have traveled thousands of miles in order to see this. And they're taking selfies with it. And they're kind of pushing. And there's no really line that kind of leads you casually past it. So you have your moment with the Mona Lisa. It's kind of chaos. And so I got caught up in the chaos, right? Because everybody's, you know, you just kind of go with the flow and the feel of the room. And so I'm trying to get up there so I can see the Mona Lisa. It's kind of difficult. And Rachel taps me on the shoulder and she says, "Hey, Rich." And I'm like, "Yes, hold on. I can almost see her." "No, Rich. And I was like, "What's going on?" I have a very wise wife and very observant wife. And she doesn't like to get caught up in the movement of everybody else like I do. And she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Rich, look behind you." And so if the Mona Lisa is here, directly behind us is this amazing painting of Jesus at the wedding in Cana. And it was this strange and wondrous moment of all of these people gathering around this Mona Lisa and missing Jesus. And he was big, and he was evident, and it was a beautiful picture. And it was this, it just taught me that we have a responsibility to tap people on the shoulder and point them to Jesus. It was a great, great image for me. Just tap them on the shoulder and just say, look, there he is. And it's not this idea of having to pull and drag them to Jesus, right? It's just pointing to him gently so they can be wowed the same way that we were wowed when we first encountered our Savior. We're going to turn Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is kind of going to be the framework of the message for today. Acts 1, chapter 8. It starts out like this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's just three things that I want to highlight in here. Number one, we want to share through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his leading, through his guiding, and through his insight, right? So that whole idea of tapping people on the shoulder and pointing to Jesus, the whole idea of witnessing and sharing our faith, this has to be stimulated by the Holy Spirit. We need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to be the one that's stirring up these things in us as we're going out and as we're sharing. A verse that describes really well what the Holy Spirit does is found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. He's talking about David, but the cool thing about this is the same Holy Spirit that we read about in the Old Testament is the same as that we have today, right? So the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And so these are the things that we want to be depending upon. We want to be depending upon the Holy Spirit so that when we go into situations that we have wisdom, we have some insight into the situation, that we have understanding of the situation, that we're going to the Spirit to let him counsel us to kind of know, okay, how are we going to go about this? And of might, sometimes it takes a whole lot of strength. It might seem like a gentle tap on the shoulder, but sometimes it seems like it takes a whole lot of strength. And we get to depend on the Holy Spirit for strength to be able to move forward and do that as well. So that's number one. Number two, right? So we have the Spirit, but we're to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's the second part of the verse. And I have a picture of a map up here. I don't know how familiar you guys are with the whole map of that region of the world, but you have Jerusalem, right? You have the city, and that's where he starts, right? Right? I want you to start here in Jerusalem. Here in Jerusalem. And from there, the area of Judea. Like, all right, I want you to start here in this city, and then I want you to go bigger. And then I want you to go towards your enemies, right? They didn't get along so well with Samaritans. And that's another distance, right? So now I want you to do at home. I want you to go away, expand. I want you to reach out to your enemies as well. And then I want you to go to the ends of the earth. And what that ends up doing, basically, it basically means that everywhere we go, we have an opportunity to share. If we feel like we're in enemy territory or relationships are strained, that's an area that we have an opportunity through the strength of the Holy Spirit to be able to share, to be able to tap people and just point them to Jesus. Whether it's your home, whether you see that as your workplace, maybe the places that you're going to school, maybe it's family, maybe it's your neighbors, right? That's kind of your Jerusalem, right? Maybe the state of Wisconsin is more of our Judea, like if you happen to be traveling in the state. And then you expand that farther to your enemies and to the ends of the world. Speaking about the ends of the world, Birmingham, as we had just stated before, it's an extremely multicultural city, a majority-minority city. And someone that we met came from India. He came from a Sikh background, and a Sikh is one of the major Indian, one of the major Eastern religions. And for me, being from Wisconsin, India is clearly the end of the earth, right? Like, I have this opportunity, this guy's from India, like, yeah, that's the ends of the earth for me. And so he started actually coming to church, and Rachel and I had an opportunity to lead a Introduction to Christianity course in our home. And what we did is we served a meal in our home, people who are curious about to understand what's Christianity about. We'd eat together, and then we'd watch this little video series, and we'd have some questions, and we engaged with him really well, and he had some great questions, and so we could just see that there's things happening. Like, that was the opportunity for us. We're just pointing people to Jesus. We weren't dragging anybody. We were feeding them, and then just having gentle conversations and just saying, here's Jesus, here's Jesus. And he started getting interested. We ended up going out to a restaurant together afterwards and just continuing our conversations, and I shared with him Romans Road. Any of you familiar with Romans Road? Heard of it before? Right? So if you want, I don't know what the rules are here, but you guys can take your phones out and take a picture of this if you want. This is a great tool that I often use when sharing the gospel with someone. So all these verses are found in the book of Romans, and it just walks you step by step through what the gospel is. Our need for a savior, right? Our separation from God. But we have the opportunity to have eternal life in Christ Jesus. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then kind of goes into, like, if we declare with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And then it says that, you know, those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And it's just this beautiful series of one verse after another. If you have an opportunity to open the Word with someone and you want to use this tool, please, I encourage you to use it. It walks it through really clearly, step by step. Anyways, I ended up using this with him, and we started reading the Bible just verse by verse, kind of talking about it together, and he became a Christian, praise God, coming from a very different, yeah, no kidding, yes, absolutely, we need to celebrate those kind of things. He became a believer not that long, just maybe 3 months ago or so, yeah, it's just taking opportunity to share our story with others to point people to Jesus. And one of the cool things about this gentleman is right after he shared with me, hey, I accepted Jesus. I want to live for him. I believe in what he did. I believe that he died and rose again. I believe he wants to forgive me for my sins. His next question was, help me to know how to share with my family. I know this is good news that's meant to be shared. And so right from the get-go, he's going, okay, I know Jesus now. I want to know better how to point other people to Jesus. So he got it. He got it right from the get-go. So sometimes we just need to look at situations and opportunities and say, okay, God, what do you want me to say? You walk into a situation, God, how do you want me to share? Gently turning people and saying, just please look at Jesus. Another end of the story happened around Easter time. So we love inviting people into our home and just taking opportunities. So Easter is an incredible opportunity just to be able to share the gospel. Like, we should be able to share on Easter. And so it should also be a celebration. And so we took an opportunity to invite people in. And our daughter is taking some dance classes. And there was a little girl in that class that she invited to come. And Rachel and I shared the gospel. And we used some puppets and interacted back and forth. And we did some games. And the grandma brought the little girl. And she was so encouraged just to hear, like, oh, today I was invited into someone's house to hear about an Easter party, right? And I was just encouraged. And so the grandma told her mom, right? This is the great-grandma. Went to told her mom, and her mom said, no way. Like, I haven't been to church in such a long time. And if my great-granddaughter is hearing things about who Jesus is, I need to get back to church because I want to be able to engage with her too. And so she started going to church as well. And so sometimes we don't want to underestimate when we share, when we try and point someone to Jesus, when we tap those people on the shoulder and say, hey, just look at Jesus. Sometimes it's second, third hand. Like, we just leave it in God's hands. We just be obedient. We just take the opportunity through the strength of the Spirit, and we share. We point to Jesus, and then we let God do the rest. So that's just another ends of the earth kind of story. So they were from Jamaica, a Jamaican family. I love how these verses that we're just talking about highlight home, they highlight away, how they highlight the enemies, and the ends of the earth. When all these bases are covered, when you just talk about all those bases, it means we as believers need to be keeping our eyes open for opportunities. You're always looking for opportunities wherever you go, because these verses basically cover all the ground that we'll ever be in. Whether we're at home or away, if Milwaukee seems like the ends of the earth, great. Look for opportunities down there as well, right? Keep your eyes open for what the Lord wants to do through you if you're in that space. I don't feel like I have a lot of enemies. Overall, I'm a pretty polite and nice kind of guy. And so I don't have a whole lot of enemies, but I was run off the road by a Starbucks truck this year. And if I can say this anywhere, right, we know that if it's not Java Jive, we have an enemy, don't we? So I don't mean to paint Starbucks as the enemy, right? But I was run off the road. It was an accident. And so here's an engagement with the enemy, right? But the lady got out of the truck, and she was very apologetic, and we started talking, and it was her first accident. She was worried she was going to lose her job. And so all these things, and I took an opportunity here we are stuck. My car's stuck. Like, I can't go anywhere. We're waiting to hear back from insurance companies and things like that. And I took an opportunity and I said, hey, like, where are you? Like, do you have any beliefs? Do you believe anything? She's like, oh, I went to church a long time ago, but I've stopped. I haven't gone again. I said, well, can I just, I know there's a lot of stress in this moment. Can I take an opportunity to pray for you? And so 10:30 at night, cars are smoking and things like that, and took an opportunity to pray with this lady. It was probably easier to do that because she was completely at fault. So like, hey, since I'm the good guy in this situation, can I pray for you? But it was another opportunity, and you wouldn't think so because those can be really tense times, but sometimes coming into these tense situations, right? It could be friction with a family member. It could be friction with a boss. Sometimes coming in there with a heart of prayer and a heart that's ready to point people to Jesus can change an atmosphere quite dramatically. It can be revolutionary to know that we're a part of a big picture. I just want to bring up that picture again. There's so many things that are happening in this picture, right? There's just so many different things. You have Jesus right there in the center. I don't know if you can see the little light coming around his head, right? But there's just so much action happening, and every single person in this picture has an important role to play. And we need to just realize that we have a role to play in Jesus' big picture as well. Like, when you're walking down the street, when you're at work, when you're here at church, and whoever you happen to be sitting next to, like, you have a role in God's plan, which is extremely exciting. Rachel and I, as Rachel had shared, we serve at a homeless shelter. And we get to sit and visit and talk with them. We eat with them, and we get to share the gospel with them. But when we sit and we play Uno with them, they share stories. They share things. And whenever someone's sharing things with you, you know it's an opportunity. Like, hey, maybe I can pray into this situation. And it's happened more than once where I've said, hey, thank you for sharing that information. And it's some hard things. Can I pray for you in this? Most often they're like, yes, please do. That'd be great. I would love that. And they'll pray with us. And it's so cool because you see them a couple weeks later and you just follow up and you say, hey, how did things go? You know what? Your prayers worked. They work. Can I share more with you? And it's just taking those opportunities because it's not about my prayers working. It's about just somebody knowing that you're lifting them up to the Lord and that the Lord can be at work in their lives. And just taking, again, those opportunities. So, entering into situations in life where you're always looking to point others towards Jesus, that's what we should be doing. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a weight off your shoulders, though, right? Because all of a sudden you can be like, this can be a little bit weighty, right? Can I tell you that Jesus speaks for himself? We don't have to convince people of how good Jesus is. We just need to take an opportunity to point Jesus, to point them to Jesus, and they get to be wowed. I have a picture of, this gives you a little bit a better idea of how big the painting is. Can you see the lady that's kind of standing in front? This is a massive painting. This painting is actually one of the biggest paintings in the Louvre. I mean, it is ginormous. And so to have that facing the Mona Lisa on the opposite end, it's crazy because the thing is, there's so few people looking at this painting. In that previous picture that you saw with everybody kind of crowded around and like, oh, trying to get a picture of the Mona Lisa, literally, no joke, when you turn around, it's probably 20 feet from the Mona Lisa. When you turn around, there'll be one person just kind of admiring. But Jesus speaks for himself. We don't have to convince people that Jesus is everything that he claims to be. Like, Jesus can speak for himself. But we just get to share what he's done in our lives and be passionate about it. We get to be excited about it. The fact that you guys clapped because someone came to know the Lord, that is passion that should be welling up inside us, right? So this painting is huge. And I have an example of the next slide. Can you guys see the Mona Lisa in the corner? That's the comparison. That's the real scale comparison to the Mona Lisa, to this painting of Jesus. Like, people can see the difference. And people will be wowed. I heard a wow out here somewhere. People will be wowed without explaining the measurements, without explaining the materials or the time that it took. You don't have to say, well, the frame itself holds this much, many gallons. You don't have to say anything. You just point into the picture, and then start to go, wow. And they start experience it. And that's an opportunity for us to go in and go, and when they notice something like, hey, yeah, you know what? I noticed that as well. And let me show you something else that I've noticed in the years that I've been a Christian. And you get to start engaging with Jesus in the same way that you might be engaging with a painting that's been discovered for the very first time. Where you get to point out things like, hey, you know what? If you notice these people on the bottom right, they're all looking up. That's kind of strange, isn't it? But if you look a little bit higher, you're going to see there's like things happening on the balcony. And we get to have that same opportunity when we're talking about Jesus. When people are like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm learning this about Jesus. Oh, you know what? Let me share with you something that he's doing in my life right now. Or let me share with you a story or give you a little bit more insight. You just get to be passionate with them as they get to know Jesus, who speaks for himself. They will notice. They will notice. And when we do, that's an opportunity to jump in and just be passionate and continue sharing. Rachel gets a chance to go into schools, and so often she gets to speak in all Islamic schools. And so when she's in some of the schools, she gets to lay out the gospel through a religious education class. And in that school, like, when Rachel teaches and when she speaks, she's very excited. Like, you can see the passion that wells up in her because it's authentic. And one of the Muslim girls came up after her and said, look, I don't believe what you believe, but I can see your passion when you're sharing about Jesus. And I respect that, and that's impacted me today. And so sometimes when we just get to live out our faith passionately, that marks other people's lives. So live your faith passionately, because that stands out to people as well, because what Jesus does in our lives is real. We're privileged to be able to carry the gospel into our neighborhoods, our cities, our regions, to our enemies, to the ends of the earth, gently turning others towards Jesus and to say, just look, there he is. Discover him, get to know him, and he will change your life just the way he has changed mine. Do it at home. Do it in your city. Share with your enemies. Don't stop there. Take it to the ends of the earth. Get that airplane ticket to come work with us in Birmingham. Don't be afraid, right? Go to the ends of the earth. And then I want you to cover those seeds in prayer. And you guys, I saw that highlighted this morning as you guys have an emphasis on the importance of prayer. Just water those seeds in prayer. This is my last story, then I'm going to close. Rachel was walking down the street, and as she does so well. She looks for opportunities. She does that so well. And as she's walking, her and my daughter passed a woman that was walking in the opposite direction, and you could tell that the weight of the world was on her shoulders. And they passed, and after they had passed, Rachel just felt this burden to go back. just to go back and just say something to her. And so Rachel turned around and she started walking and just let her, hi, I know we just passed. And they started in a short conversation. Rachel's question is, do you know Jesus? And she said no. And she started sharing a little bit insight into her life, and she had just left the hospital. She didn't want to live anymore. So she made an attempt, and she left. The hospital released her. And this is the moment that Rachel crossed paths with her. They exchanged some phone numbers, but the reality of that situation is that she never responded to any of Rachel's reach outs after that. She never called. But I think the reality is that we might now be the only person praying for this Lauren. We might be the only people that have insight into some of the things that she's going through. And I think what I want to highlight with this story is that prayer is so important. But I want you guys to know that rejection does not mean forgotten, okay? When we're out taking the opportunity to go and share, rejection does not mean that it's been forgotten. And God can use that later on in her life with a different interaction. So take those opportunities, and if you receive rejection, that doesn't mean that the seed was not planted. That seed was still planted, and so now your job and your responsibility is to pray and give that over to the Lord and trust Him with that. My salvation story, I rejected the gospel at one point in my life, but I didn't forget it. And later on, God used that same interaction with that gentleman later on in my life to bring me to repentance and bring me to a place where I accepted Jesus as my Savior. So please, I just want to encourage you guys today. When you guys go out, this is about going out and sharing to the ends of the earth. Rejection is going to come. But when it comes, just know that that seed was still planted and that it's not forgotten. One of my favorite quotes is, if we could see what happens in the spiritual realm when we pray, we would never cease to pray. Right? If we could see what happens in the spiritual realm when we pray, we would never cease to pray. So cover everything you do in prayer. I want to close with this verse here in 1 Chronicles 16:24. It says this, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Can we pray? Father God, thank you for this morning and this idea of that you have given us from the book of Acts to go and share this good news everywhere we go, starting at home and expanding to the region, the state, even to our enemies and to the ends of the earth, God. God, I pray that we would be reliant on you as we go forth and do that. We recognize we need your strength and we need your wisdom and we need your insight as we share with people. Maybe sometimes we've shared with them, it feels like 100 times. But God, we just want to depend on your prompting and say, hey, is it time to share again? Or maybe is it time to share for the first time? And God, we want to trust you with those seeds that have been planted. We want to pray over those seeds that have been planted, Father, and just allow you to do what you do. You redeem, you save, you forgive. You bring peace, Father. And the love that we can't know aside from you, God. So just pray a blessing of encouragement over the church this morning. And we'd go forth into all nations, into our homes, towards our enemies, and just share this good news of how you've touched our lives and how you want to touch theirs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the service. I was told that there is coffee and refreshments in the back. Hang out and mingle because that's community.
Yep. Before you get... Is it on? I'll just talk really now. Rich, come on up here, and Rachel. Okay. We'd like to pray for you guys. It's great to hear two people and their kids so excited about God. In a country that it's searching like the United States. So it's like he says, our backyards, our workplaces, our enemies, we're all able. God can do it. So let's pray for him. Father, I just ask that you be with Rich and Rachel and their children as they head back to Birmingham shortly, Father. Give them a safe trip back. continue to bless their ministry in the youth, the whatever ones they're doing, working with the moms, Father. Just be with them. Watch over them. Bless them. And Father, I ask that you bring them workers to help them out. Like the Bible says, there's very many few, but the fields are so many, God. So be with us. Be with them, God. Just bless them. And I thank you for them being here today. In your name, amen.